Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, it's been a long time since we've had a show, William Miller. We've been slacking.
I know.
And I think it's your fault. To be honest, I'm going to place all the blame on William Miller.
All right, that sounds good.
All right, we've also got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame. Justin Fick, what's happening?
Not much. Howdy, fellas. Missed you guys.
I know. Now, guys, we've got a special treat, a special guest this week in the studio with me. This week is Ben Buck Double B. Ben Buck, say hello.
Hello, BDPE listeners.
So, for those of you who don't know, Ben Buck is my brother. He's a fan of the show. He writes us emails every now and then. And
he has a job.
Oh, he has. Look, I worked at a movie theater for like 2 weeks.
And then it closed.
Look, I ate all the popcorn, okay?
I bet you did.
All right, what? I'm distracted now. All right, and this is your gaming news for Friday, May 14th, 2007.
It's the 28th, Blake.
What the I said 14th. I meant,
yeah, and this is April.
Shut up, son. Son.
It must run in the family.
I guess so.
And this is your gaming news for Friday, May 4th, 2007. Right, this week on the show, we've got King Kuduragi is retiring. Details surface on Gears of War screenplay. Nintendo sells 5.84 million Wiis. Nintendo buys Monolith Soft, and Call of Duty 4 trailer has been revealed. Also, Ben Buck is going to be breaking down Engadget's reviews and some other news. We've got releases, Pokemon Judgment, Jank, all the good stuff on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever. William Miller, go.
All right. So my news this week, Ken Kuduragi retires. So the Sony chairman and CEO steps down from his post to pursue other projects and pass the torch onto a new generation. So Ken, 56-year-old father of the Sony PlayStation, according to GameStop, GameSpot, excuse me, will end an era by retiring from his post. And let's see, he's got the COO, Kazuo Hirai is going to take over for him. So, Justin Fick, you said you heard a rumor somewhere that Ken is going to go off and start his own studio.
No. That's David Jaffe. That's someone totally different.
Look at you. Look at you, son.
Oh, that's David Jaffe. I got confused when we were talking in the chat. Well, anyway, the official statement from Sony, Ken commented, "I'm happy to graduate from Sony Computer Entertainment after introducing four platforms to the PlayStation family." Can you name those platforms, Ben Buck? Go.
Sony PlayStation, Sony PlayStation 2, Sony PlayStation 3, and the Sony PlayStation Portable.
Oh, congratulations.
Very good.
All except the Sony PlayStation 2 suck.
All right, it's been an exciting experience to change the world of computer entertainment by marrying cutting-edge technology and creative minds from all over the world. I'm looking forward to building on this vision in my next endeavor.
Now, is that just like a really polite way of saying, sorry, guys, I f***ed up your entire franchise. I'm going to go cry in the corner now.
Here's what I want to know. Kaz Hirai, Ken Kuduragi, what's the difference? I don't understand. I always thought they were the same person.
I agree. I thought this guy had already been fired.
One of them wears pink shirts.
William Miller is speechless. Excellent.
Look, you need to turn it down, son. You're talking too loud.
You just said I had to move in close and talk louder.
But you don't have to be so loud.
Oh.
You're talking like, hey, I'm saying something, look at me. My name's Ben, I'm talking to the microphone.
Now look, you're giving Tom too much work. Like, this is not good.
Look,
gotta tone it down for Tom.
Look, you gotta be...
Blake Buck and Blake Buck 1.0 is like the new Terminator fighting the old Terminator.
I know. Look, this show's never going to happen.
This is a disaster.
So much time I spent cleaning up this wiki, and this show's going to go to shit because I'm with Tweedledum over here.
Well, if you're Tweedledum, then what about D? There can't be a D without a dumb. Hey, look at those levels over there, man. I wonder if I can make them go up. No, I can't make them go. I'm talking about the ones on your console.
Don't touch anything.
I see levels.
I gotta say, this is probably one of the most amusing disasters I've ever been a part of.
All right, I'm done. One steps down, the other takes his place. Both the same person. Moving on.
Now, I want to say one thing. A lot of people are speculating that this is because of the lack of success the PS3 has been facing. What's the word for lack of success? I guess failure?
F*** up.
I wouldn't say
it's excessive criticism.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of criticism over the PS3 launch and their numbers are down, but I bet Ken Kuduragi has been planning on retiring for a few years now. So,
yeah, but he's probably been speeded up since the PlayStation 3 has been a disaster.
Maybe. Justin Vic, what do you think?
don't know. I think there's so many signs in the wall now. Like I really gave the PS3 a fighting chance in the beginning, and just they just kept making themselves up, be completely ridiculous, and kept fucking everything up one piece at a time between the launch and losing exclusive titles, and now they're losing they're not losing Kenny Kutaragi. He's leaving. There's rumor of David Jaffe starting his own independent studio. I mean, it's clear that the PlayStation is not going to be the industry leader this time around, and you know they're really starting to suffer. And there's also been, what was it, like 100 layoffs at Sony last week? So
that's true.
I don't know. I think it was time to go. Like I said, the whole thing was a polite way of saying sorry. I fucked up your lead in the industry. I'm gonna go cry in a corner now and just be a hermit.
So Justin Fick, I hear you got a hot tip from LatinoReview.com.
Yeah, actually, LatinaReview.com is reporting that they have gotten hold of the treatment for the Gears of War screenplay. if you remember, this is the same website that that back in 2005 they had gotten the treatment to the Halo movie script and basically combed over it for Latinos, and they're doing the same thing now, and they're gushing over the inclusion of Dom Santiago, who is a Latino.
Dude, what is the deal with Latinos in video games? We had Guillermo del Toro. Now we've got Guillermo del Toro is also synonymous with Tuncer Dennis, and he was to direct the Halo movie, but then that deal fell through.
Well, Peter Jackson was also supposed to direct.
He was supposed
to
executive produce on, and that's not the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you go read your text?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've been owned.
That's right. Own number one. 1 point, uh-oh. Blake Buck. 0 points, Ben Buck.
Dude, like I said, this is the new Terminator fighting the old Terminator over here.
So does it say anything about the details of this treatment?
Actually, it does. If you go to LatinaReview.com, it gives you it doesn't look like it's the treatment itself. It kind of looks like they wrote it in, but it allegedly goes for the entire first third of the movie.
Ben Buck, why don't you read this like you're the movie voice? You can read us the plot summary of this, but give us like your movie trailer voice.
The film begins with heroes Marcus Phoenix and Dominic Santiago already in the army of the Coalition of Ordered Governments. However, it shows other characters from the game, including Thrashball star Augustus Coltrane Cole, prior to the military service. The film also features Phoenix's wife Maria, who goes missing during the chaos of Emergence Day, along with his children. Bum, bum, bum.
You're destined for voice work, Ben. I think you're in the wrong... The Cookie Factory was the wrong choice of career.
I'm noticing on here that it says it's penned by the writer or the novelist of 28 Days Later. That's not the same person that wrote the 28 Days Later movie, is it? Because that movie was awful.
Now, keep in mind, it's also the same guy that did Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that was a pretty good movie.
Thumbs down. All right, so Blake Buck just says thumbs down to any movie.
Whatever. The third one's got Chow Yun-Fat in it. I'm there.
All right, so I have some anecdote about this GERS screenplay business. So the Game Developers Exchange happened this weekend in Savannah, and William Miller was assigned to escort Dr. Michael Capps around for the weekend. Now, this is the king of Epic. He's like the executive producer, god and king of Epic.
Yeah, baby.
So I just got to pal around with this dude a little bit. And the last day of the conference, I guess, was yesterday. Conference was over, and his girlfriend comes and gets me from downstairs because I was in some other lecture. And she's like, Mike wants to go drinking. So William Miller's like, oh, well. So we go to this bar. And the first thing he does, he says, I need to speak to the manager immediately. So the manager comes over, and he shoves, like, a credit card in her hand. Is like, I need to shut down the downstairs of this bar, because we're going to have, like, a bajillion high school or college students coming in here in a minute.
Man.
And he opened up a tab.
Oh, man.
And William Miller's eyes lit up.
My eyes lit up. That's right. Well, you know, for William Miller, like one beer is hitting the bar pretty hard, so.
No. Now, let me stop you in the story. William Miller, I was on chat with William Miller the night this happened. It was about 10:30, and William Miller was like, Blake Buck, it was crazy tonight. It was an open bar, but I'm home here now at 10:30 talking to you on the internet. Blake Buck was at a bar with the open tab. It would be 3 in the morning and he would be dead before you heard anything out of him.
All right, well, first of all, that was the first night of the conference, and that was an open bar by the college. Now, Savannah College of Art and Design is a dry campus, which is why it was a little weird. But that started at, like, I don't know, 5. So I drank a little bit and then got back at 10 and was... it was coherent, but true. If Blake Buck had been there, he'd have been dead.
I just had a headache, and I just wanted to go home and watch a movie, eat some Ben and Jerry's.
So anyway, I'm downstairs in this bar, sitting right across from Mike drinking, and he gets a phone call. So he goes off and he comes back. He looks kind of pissed off. He sits down. He's like, "They leaked the Gears of War treatment," and then he just drank more.
Well, there's only one solution to this problem.
It sounds like my kind of game designer.
No, man, he was awesome.
I gotta say though, like, it's the whole thing did seem kind of suspect to me. It's like here, like, you know, it's like you leak a screenplay to someone, and it's like it's Gears of War. It's one of the biggest blockbuster games ever, and you leak it to who? LatinaReview.com, who also just happened to also get the Halo treatment.
Dude, don't be ragging on LatinaReview.com, all right? They got the latest.
Wait, who said it was leaked? Could have been stolen, right? I mean,
that's the same thing. It's information that wasn't supposed to be out that's out.
Leaked implies that somebody gave it to them, but they could have gone out with researchers and found it.
No, leaked just means it has been...
Oh, my God.
The information has been released without approval of the company. That's all it means.
This is going to end in tears.
But we don't know how it's been leaked is what I'm saying.
What does it matter? It's out there now. What are you going to do?
Yeah, but you were saying that somebody had given it to him.
I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
That's
what you implied.
Yeah, son, you got to pay attention. This is podcast. The world moves fast.
Podcast is serious business.
You can't even do it.
I can do it. You shut up.
My skill. You can't do that.
All right. So to learn more about the Gears of War films, which currently does not have a release date, read the treatment online at LatinaReview.com. So there you go. LatinaReview.com. All the hot tips. Ben Buck, what news have you got for us this week? Oh, wait, no, that's me.
Brother, that's your news. Get with it.
I saw Buck, and I thought it meant Ben
Sound
Buck.
Like we're 1-1 now.
Oh, damn. All right, so Nintendo has shipped 5.84 million units worldwide. So that's 5.84 million Wiis have been shipped. The latest console boosts Nintendo's revenue, along with the DS, to $8.09 billion. Company promises to further intensify Wii channels. So, yeah, sales are way, way up for Nintendo.
Is it still a fad?
I think Nintendo... We'll get to... Look, we tell the news first. You got to pay attention. Tell the news and then the opinion. We got to give the facts first. So, Nintendo, essentially, they've been cranking out 1 million consoles a month, and they have been selling every single one of the units they've shipped. And so they're increasing their production to 14 million units by the end of the year. Which, by the way, that's not much of an increase. That's only like an extra, what, maybe 100,000 a month. So Nintendo needs to get on the ball with production, but they are just selling through these Wiis faster than they can even crank them out. So what do you guys think this means for Nintendo? Let me go back. I also read somewhere that this is essentially the highest profits Nintendo has ever seen in their entire career. They sold more Wiis and DS Lites than they have any other piece of hardware, dating all the way back to the NES.
I think that the cause of this phenomenal sales record is that the Nintendo DS and the Wii it prints money.
Well,
have you seen that picture?
Oh yeah, the image macros.
That thing printing money. It prints money, baby. Yeah, image macro. Yep.
But you asked earlier, you know, is this a fad? Is the Wii a fad? Is Nintendo a fad? And all I got to say is at 6 million sold, who the f*** cares?
That's true. I'm only concerned that 6 months from now, there's not going to be like, well, not 6 months, but over the next 6 months until the fall, there's nothing on the Wii. Can anybody tell me a game that's coming out on the Wii before like November that's worth it?
Well, look, Nintendo just released a statement saying they were working on 124 new games for the Wii.
Look, I hear that, baby, but I don't see it.
I know.
You show me a screenshot and a release date.
Well, you look at it the same way you look at the DS. The DS, when I got my DS, I got it for I got it right before Christmas. It was so cool. You know, I had, like, you know, Super Mario 64, and that was it for months. It collected dust for, like, 4 months before anything came out for it. And then, you know, you get things like Metroid Prime Hunters. Games came out that really started to use the technology, use the touchscreen, not use the microphone, but still use the touchscreen. And it's awesome now. They're cranking out games for it. It's the best selling console in this industry by far, like more than everyone else put together. And there's games just coming out for it, like one after another. So the Wii, is kind of in that same slump that the DS was in the very beginning, and it's going to be a couple more months for people to actually figure out how to make games for it and make them good, and for those to all come out, and then it's going to kick out.
See, the thing that Wii needs is its killer application. It needs, like, I don't know, what was the VisiCalc? That's it. It needs its own VisiCalc, because that's what made Apple start selling like gangbusters. So I think, like, there's going to be some company out there that comes up with something really sweet and puts it out, and it's just going to shoot this thing through the roof more so than it is now.
I think so. I think you're right. We'll see what happens this fall. Dude, when is that Smash Brothers coming out? I always hear that's right around the corner. Always coming out real soon. But
it's a November release, along with Metroid and Mario Galaxy.
I heard it could be a 2008 release.
It won't be.
That's what I heard. Somebody told me that, and I believed them.
We still don't know how the controls are going to work, if you're going to have the old GameCube controller to even play the thing.
Dude, thumbs down for that control scheme.
Lame.
So, yeah, Nintendo got lots of money rolling in the dough, and just this week, they bought Monolith Soft. So, for those of you who don't know Monolith Soft, they're a huge developer of lame Japanese role-playing games. So,
Bento Kaitos? Xenosaga? Yeah, they're really bored. Have you ever played Xenosaga before?
I've never played Xenosaga.
It's ridiculous. Like, you move around and do stuff for 5 minutes, and then it's like 2.5 hours of cutscene. It's ridiculous.
I played through the first one. I have the second one, haven't played through it. Started up, it was like a 2-hour cutscene. I was, done with this. Spent time instead.
So, yeah, I guess it's good to see Nintendo getting out there and buying new developers, but at the same time, Monolith Soft, they made Xenosaga, Benton Kaitos. What else have they made? They made a game called Disaster Day of Crisis. That was, like, revealed last year, and then we hadn't heard anything about it, so maybe they're working on something like that for the Wii. So it's not really sure, but, yeah, at least Nintendo's getting out there and, you know, gobbling up these developers.
Well, my question, though, is just in response to all this is why? It's like someone just handed Nintendo a list of companies to buy and just went through them and just listed them by name. Just like, okay, well, EA, no. Monolith Soft, what the hell, buy them.
Well, you don't want to buy the most expensive ones. You want to buy the ones that are on sale that are undervalued. So Monolith...
Monolith was
clearly undervalued.
That was the jank of the week. Basically. All right, so finally, my last piece of heat for you guys is Call of Duty 4 trailer has been revealed. This is coming out on, like, ESPN football or something tomorrow, but it got leaked on the internet early.
Oh, man.
Essentially, Call of Duty 4, it's not even Call of Duty. You're in the future. You're shooting like future dudes. Thumbs down. Big thumbs down. What is this garbage? They're in helicopters. They're shooting space lasers. I ain't got time for this.
That's what I want. Space lasers.
Dude, that sounds awesome to me. World War II.
Is this what has to happen to every, like, war franchise? It eventually just degrades to space shooter robots.
you mean elevates to space shooters?
Oh, excuse me.
He was like, I don't know how the hell are you going to have a franchise of 4 World War II games in a row? There's got to be aliens or pirates or 3 in there somewhere at some point.
Just call it something different. Don't call it Call of Duty 4. Call of Duty 1 through 3 can't be in World War II and now we're in space. Don't work, son.
Dude, it's Call of Duty 4000.
All right, they already did that with Battlefield 20, 40, 50, 9 million, whatever it is.
All right, so Ben Buck, you got some news for us.
I do have a couple news articles. I've even put letters beside them so I can keep track. The first one is Engadget does a preliminary review of the Xbox 360 Elite. It is coming out tomorrow on April 29th. You're all aware.
No. That's in the past. So you got to be thinking ahead, Ben Buck. This ain't coming out till
Wednesday. I also like people to know when we're recording, so it's not a mystery. Because you always keep it a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Yeah,
all right.
See, today is the 28th.
No, it's a lie.
No, it's the truth. So anyway, as you all know, it has the it's black in color, and it has HDMI. And it has a larger hard drive, and it's $80 more than the white version. Engadget did a preliminary review and said basically it's just like the white version. It's just as loud or quiet. It's not really any quieter. The HDMI is extremely marginally better as far as video component goes. So
you're telling me it's not any quieter?
Extremely marginally better.
In other words, if you have a 56-inch plasma TV, you might be able to see a difference. If you have less than that, no, it's all going to look the same.
I'm talking about the noise. My Xbox is noisy as shit. Does this help that?
Well, it could, but probably not. Because it's still going to be the same drives. There was a BenQ drive that's a little bit quieter, so if you get that one, it might be quieter, but it's still going to be noisy like the other ones. It's the same inside, so there's no real reason. If you've got the Pro, there's no real reason to run out and buy it, because one of the big things they were hoping for is the video was going to look a lot better, and it doesn't.
So, Ben Buck, the real question, are you going to buy the Xbox 360 Black Elite?
I don't know. That's a lot of codes, $480 plus tax. I'm kind of waiting to see what Amazon.com does.
Well, here's the thing. GameStop and EB Games are having a trade-in program wherein you get $250 for your Xbox 360 Premium if you're going to trade up to Black Elite.
I have seen that, Justin Fick, but I don't have one, so it's going to be the full price for me if I get one. So I'll have to think about it. Amazon has not yet released details on their pricing or whatever.
Look, what do you mean? Amazon's not going to be any cheaper. It's $480. That's MSRP. But there'll be
$480 without tax.
I guess.
So that'll save almost $35.
That's just true.
So
I always buy game consoles online. Always.
Well, they're $500, yeah. So the next up article is, let's see. This one may have been released already, but BioShock will be released as a collector's edition on both the PC.
Then we talked about that petition.
Well, no, it's been official now, and it's coming out. Oh, I didn't write the date down, but anyway, August 21st. You can buy both the 360 and the PC will both have collector's edition, and it will include a Big Daddy figurine. That's the mechanical creature, a making of DVD, and a soundtrack CD. It will also be embossed with a graphic design by winner of the cover art contest that's going on at cultofrapture.com. Also, the collector's edition will only be sold at EB and GameStop, so check it out if you're interested.
Now, see, I don't get this, though. Isn't the point of making a collector's edition for something that people like, and you know they want to have as much of it as possible? We don't even know if this game is going to be yet. And they're already selling, you know, figurines and maps and...
Well, no, I mean, all this was is that they had originally planned to come out with the game and never really given any thought to a collector's edition, or I assume that's how it went. And then there was some buzz on the internet for, oh, why don't they do a collector's edition? A petition was started, enough people signed it, and so they said, well, enough people want it, we're going to make a collector's edition.
You do not mention online petitions on this show.
It worked?
It did not work.
Okay. Well,
somebody in PR was dumb. Online petitions are not supposed to work. I don't know who let this happen.
Well,
I'm going to buy them all and throw them in the trash just to show online petitions who's the man.
finally, I've got one more offbeat story. Back in the day, they had PowerFest. I was fortunate enough to go to one. I don't remember when it was.
I remember that.
But I remember having to stand in line, and I kind of had to wait around for the loser group to get up to the consoles, because I wasn't good enough to beat everybody else, so I kind of got up in a group that wasn't so good.
And now, what was PowerFest, for those of us who don't know?
It was Nintendo was touring or something. Anyway, they had these special cartridges, and you played...
Now, where did you go to play them?
I think we went to Walmart to play it. It was, you know, just... This was before Best Buy and all that kind of stuff, so I think we just went to Walmart to play it, and you got in line, and you went up, and it was three games at a time, and you played Super Mario Brothers, the Lost Levels, and then you played Mario Kart, and then you played King Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball, and you played each one for like a minute. So to play all three of them was for 3 minutes or something like that. And if you won the round, you got a hat.
Bimbo, did you get a hat?
I got a hat.
Do you still wear it to this day?
I still have this hat to this day.
I bet. In fact, wait. In the past 6 months, have you ever worn this hat outside of your house?
I probably have in the past 6 months. It's a dope hat.
Dude, I just remember that picture of Ben Buck on the podcast with a Nintendo controller belt buckle. And I was like, this man is my hero.
Oh, yeah. Ben Buck paid big bucks for that belt buckle. There was some website was selling it, and I was like, I got to have it. I just went and bought it, and then I got it in, and it's just a controller that he put like a little hook in the back and a buckle on the side. He didn't even glue it. It's just like taped on there. And he was selling them for $30 or something each.
You are a clown.
Anyway, so these cartridges were returned to Nintendo, save one that kind of escaped or something. And it is now up for sale on eBay, I believe. And I think they're wanting like $26,000 for it.
Oh, yeah, they're real rare. And there's a big market for, like, you know, these kinds of games that they only made so many. There's like some version of Super Mario Brothers Oh, I remember. I read this article. It was about there's a gold version of Super Mario Brothers that they made.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Oh. There were like two copies in existence, and one of them got sold on eBay the other day, and it sold for like, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I thought it was like $22,000 because it was an old it belonged to an old dude who went off to Iraq and died. Like his uncle had to sell off his stuff, and then he got like $22,000 for that tape.
That's a lot of tape money. All right, well now it's time for releases. All right, guys, who's got these releases? Somebody go.
All right, we got Pokemans Diamond and Silver for the Nintendo DS, release date April 22nd, 2007.
Diamond and Pearl, William Miller.
Dear God, how long can they continue to bring these games out? Do we really need to catch 2,000 more? My friends are addicted to this game. We're going to have a judgment of this game coming up pretty soon in the show. Lord of the Rings Online, Shadow of Angmar for PC, April 24th. Nerds, get out there, get those dungeon dice, and buy Lord of the Rings meets WoW. And we got Gradius 3 for the Wii.
Oh, man.
Christ, Gradius for the Wii. Jesus Christ, get out there and get that. April 23rd.
Dude, I just in my pants a little bit.
Shoot enemies down. Actually, it's cut. When you say, Justin Fick, cut.
Cut? Gradius is shoot.
Well, it says here in the wiki, shoot to cut.
Dude, you can't do that.
Dude, there is no cut in Gradius. Gradius is pure cut, pure shoot.
Unless you're shooting a knife out, then you might can shoot to cut.
Yeah, what would that be? If you shot a knife, Justin Fick, would that be shoot or cut?
I think we're on to something genius here.
Eats Chow Down on the Xbox 360, released April 25th, 2007. This is Lemmings Meets Marshmallows. I played this game a little bit, thumbs down, lame. I guess if you're into, like, bizarre puzzle game, it could be fun, but I was not into
it. What are marshmallows? Lemmings meet marshmallows?
It's a little guy who's shaped like a marshmallow. He runs around. You place items on the map that he can interact with to get through the level.
You play as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Is that what it is? No?
Was that an attempt at humor, Bimbo?
I mean, what is it?
Here, let's try that. Bimbo, I want you to say, you say that again, and we're going to laugh hysterically. Say it again.
I said, do you play as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
I have no idea what's going on over there, Willie Miller.
I mean, that was the only marshmallow I ever knew that moved around.
Jessica, please take this last this last release.
All right, we also have Pinball FX for the Xbox 360. This is coming out for the for XBLAW, and it's gonna be a super realistic pinball simulator.
I played this one. Have you played this yet, Justin Fick?
I have.
What'd you think? I thought it was all right. I mean, for a pinball game,
it's a good pinball game. But I don't like super realistic pinball games on computers. Like if you're playing on a computer, you can go crazy. You can have like body parts flying everywhere and bullets and lasers and like you don't need to stick to a pinball machine.
What kind of pinball games have you been playing where there are body parts flying everywhere, Justin Fick?
Dude, Kill Monty Pinball is gonna have body parts flying everywhere.
All right. Well, now it's time for, what is it? Oh, it's time for the judgment. All right. On this week's judgment, guys, we've got Pokemon Pearl and Diamond on the Nintendo DS. So
how come we reviewed and we hadn't even played it?
Son, I played this game.
You played it for 5 minutes.
I played this game for 5 hours, and that is enough.
Didn't. 5 hours? Really?
That is enough.
I did about 30 minutes.
For me to do a judgment. Now, regardless of whether we like this game or not, the American people have spoken. Like 7 bajillion copies of this game have already been sold. But for those of you still on the fence, Pokemon Pearl and Diamond are the latest incarnations of the Pokemon series. You've got your Pokemon. Well, I guess if you don't, let me start. You play as a dude. You walk
or a woman.
Or you play as a dude.
But there's also a woman.
You play as a dude.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You can play as a woman in the new Pokemans?
Oh, yeah.
I was just being a chauvinist, that's all.
It has stunned the podcast into silence.
All right, so you get one Pokemon who's this little fighting creature, and you use that Pokemon to capture other Pokemon, and then you use them Pokemon to get more Pokemon. Just like heroin, you can't get enough of the Pokemons.
Unless you collect them all.
That's why you got to get them all.
But then you wouldn't be on heroin anymore.
So this new version... The things I like about this new version, it's just like the old Pokemon, but it's better. It's got an attractive visual style. The original Pokemon had 150 Pokemon. This one's got 480 Pokemans.
And if you've got those old tapes, you can bring them in.
No, you can only bring in your old tapes if you beat the game. You got to beat the game to be able to do that.
Oh,
thumbs down on that.
Well, it might break the game otherwise. If you
well, that's true. If you bring in,
your...
yeah, if you bring in like level Pokemon and you're like level 10 or whatever. also, level. Also, it's got online battling and trading. And by the way, guys, Japanese gamers are crazy about trading.
They'll trade you a level four.
No. Look, Bimbuck was about to tell a story I told him, but I knew if he did it, he would ruin it.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to tell this story now. So Japanese gamers, you know, our Pokemon are called different things. You know, we got like Geodude is a rock creature and Magikarp is a fish, right? But in Japan, instead of Magikarp being a fish, I guess they got like...
Waterfish.
Nippon, you know, Splasher Maru or something. That was Black Rock's interpretation of Japanese. Anyway, so they really want these U.S.-named Pokemon, and so they're willing to trade really high-level Pokemon for their U.S.-named equivalents. So Blake Buck was able to trade this dumb Magikarp level 4 fish for, like, the three starting Pokemon, which are near impossible to get otherwise.
At higher level,
yeah. So... if you got one of these Pokemon tapes, you better start trading away your U.S. named Pokemon.
But
if you want the money, you can only trade. What? I don't know.
If you've encountered the Pokemon.
Oh yeah, that's the caveat. You have to have seen the Pokemon in the game to be able to trade for it. So it's kind of busted, but whatever. It's still fun.
Well, that's so you can't twig yourself out with level Pokemons.
So the cons of this Pokemon are it's just like the old Pokemon. It's not too much has been changed to the formula, so it's still, you know, if you didn't like the old one, you're probably not going to like the new one.
It does have added touchscreen functionality
in
the fight menus. I actually liked it because you could more quickly get to what you wanted to do.
Yeah, but I'm not going to...
It saved time.
But I'm not going to pull out the stylus.
I use my fingernail just to do fight, growl,
or
whatever.
Usually I got when I'm playing DS, I got pizza grease all over my finger.
You got pizza grease on your fingernail? That is bad if you have grease on your fingernail.
Hey, look, when I eat pizza, I just grab it and just throw it in my face.
Well, perhaps you ought to bring some paper towels along with you.
So, other cons are the underwhelming graphics and sound. They still got these 8-bit noises for all the Pokemon. You send them out and they go... dumb.
But they need colors.
We need better noises. And finally, the online modes are still very limited with Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. Nintendo is apparently very terrified that somebody could get, you know, sexually predated or something or whatever.
They don't want you to get sexually assaulted by Pokemon.
So you can never see the name of the other people you're playing. You can only play strangers after you played so many hours, and even then it's all anonymous, and nobody can really talk to each other. If you want to talk to them, you have to add their friend code, and they have to add your friend code, so it's still very overly restrictive, I think. I think Nintendo is playing it a little too safe.
Well, dude, I've seen it happen. Old Man Withers opens up his van, it's like, hey, little Timmy, you want to see my Pokemans? And it's all over.
Old Man Withers.
I got some Pokemon in my trousers if you want to look in there.
Let me show you my magic. It's a type Pokemon.
I got some Geodudes in there.
Oh, I just wish we had a list of Pokemon right now and could just go down and make jokes for each of them. I'll show you my Turtwig. All right, so Justific, what'd you think of Pokemons?
Now, I actually also picked this up last night. Actually, bit of a funny anecdote. So at Freeverse Software, we're compiling lists of games that we own and have not beaten. And Justin Fick's list is 58 games long. So Justin Fick has made a vow never to buy games until he has beaten two or three games off his list.
Dude, see, I used to say that. It's
an admirable
impossible.
Goal.
I used to say that, but it's impossible. You can never do that. Never.
Well, here's how I did it. The first day I had my list, I went home that night and bought Pokemon Diamond and Final Fantasy VI Advance. Now there's 60 games on my list I have to beat.
Justin Fick, I totally understand. I had not even intended to buy Pokemon Diamond, and I got a coupon in the mail where if I spend $100 at Circuit City, you get $15 off. So Blake had needed a part, and so I needed to spend some more money to get the $100. So, damn it, I had to buy the whole $100.
They made me buy Pokemon. They made me do it. I swear.
Well, all I really got to say about the Pokemans is pretty much echoing what Blake Buck said. It's, you know, it's an addictive RPG experience that is making me question the size of my but I don't really mind all that much. So, Blake Buck, if you ever want me to show you my Pokemans,
Yeah, I felt a little embarrassed. Me and my buddy went and bought copies of Pokemon at the same time. We go on Walmart, right? We go, I want 2 Pokemon tapes now. So this dude walks over and he's like, what is this Pokemon madness all these kids buy? I'm like, baby, this is what the men buy. Don't say kids. This is a manly game. So yeah, Pokemon, if you're into Pokemon, it's still fun. So I would say thumbs up. Thumbs up for Pokemon, and check it out. Oh, by the way, Justin Fick, which version of the game do you have, Pearl or Diamond?
I got Diamond.
Oh, I got Pearl, baby.
I got Diamond.
That means we're going to be trading Pokemon. We're going to be swapped.
Oh, I'll have to show you my Diamond Pokemans.
You'll have to ship us some friends codes first, though.
Yeah, before we can be legally bound to trade online.
Oh, also, another little mini judgment. Punch-Out has been released for the Wii.
Oh, we talked about that last week, didn't we?
No, we didn't. We mean last week. You had a show in a damn month.
We had a show.
You have not had no shows. This is not Mike Tyson's. It is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but this is the version that came out like 1990 or 1991. Apparently when Mike Tyson had beat up his girlfriend too much and done too many drugs and went to jail. So they pulled him out as the last ending boss and put in some guy named Mr. Dream.
Mr. Dream, baby!
Lame.
Dream. The game is the exact same, except the final boss looks different, has the exact same move. So if you're into Punch-Out, it's on the Wii, $5. You can't lose.
Dude, I got the original Punch-Out with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but you gotta hook up your old system to play that.
Mr. Dream can eat it.
So, this is for all of us that don't want to do that. We can go spend $5.
Dude, I want to buy Punch-Out again and then play through the whole game to fight some white dude at the end. Like, that's anticlimactic. White people can't box, baby.
And with that racial slur, it's time for the Jank of the Week. All right, guys, this week's jank, we got a whole cornucopia janks here, baby.
Now, wait a minute. You just said we couldn't have news from Kotaku, and here it is right on the page. You have lied to me, brother.
I did not post this here. Who posted this? Who posted this 360 thing?
Negative.
Not me.
It must have been the Wiki Fairy.
Wiki Fairy,
you better learn. We don't take news from Kotaku.com, son.
Now, I had seen this story on Dig. I have not checked my local Sam's Club, but at least one individual found the Xbox 360 HD DVD drive for only $72 at a local Sam's Club. They normally are priced at $200. So I don't know if this is nationwide or they just mispriced it at that one store. I don't know how accurate this story is.
Don't you have to be a senior citizen to buy a Sam's Club?
Yeah. I've got nothing to add to that.
Got nothing to add. All right.
If you want to so this is for the HD DVD. Just so everybody's sure, this is that little add-on HD DVD drive. You want to play them HD tapes.
Which is white. And if you have the new Elite version, it won't match.
So, yeah. Our next jank, new platinum hits on the Xbox 360. Saints Row and Lego Star Wars will join the ranks of Xbox 360 platinum hits. For only $29.99. That is a savings, my friend.
Damn, it's so high, though. $30.
It is not available right now. I checked on GameStop, but I think in the next week or two, Saints Row and Lego Star Wars 2 will be pulling down to $29.99.
What are the platinum hits? What do those cost on? Wait a minute.
They usually cost $20 on the old systems, Xbox games cost more, baby.
No. All right, a PlayStation 2 game when it came out was $50, right? Like Black, okay? Or Resident Evil. Okay. All right, when it was Greatest Hits, it was $20.
Right.
So half of that would have been $25.
Look, so games cost more money. No, newsflash. No,
but the percentage is weaker.
Oh, there's a 5% difference. Stop it.
No, it's more than that, but I'm just saying.
Dude, when are you guys going to mud wrestle?
You're only getting half off here, whereas you got like half and then some on the PlayStation 2.
What are you going to do? Are you going to write Microsoft angry letter?
We need to cry. That's what we need to do. We need to cry, and they need to be like, I don't know, $25 at highest.
Thank you, Ben Buck. Ben Buck, ladies and gentlemen. And now it's time for the discussion. I hope you guys are ready, because this week's discussion is all devoted to Ben Buck Double B. We want to know the story of Ben Buck. What are his favorite games? What about the Cookie Factory? Ben Buck, what is your tale?
My tale. I got a job. That's my tale. That's a good tale to have. I work in Jackson, Mississippi at a CPA firm.
Don't say which one. people, you'll know. They'll know. They'll come for you, and all the ladies will come for you in throngs.
And I work at, I do IT work there, so I work on the computers. Okay. And they're Windows. They ain't no Macs there.
So, Ben Buck, what are some of your favorite games?
Resident Evil 4 is pretty good. What's that other one I like a lot? The shooter games. I'm going to say, I don't know, what's good in shooters? It's been a while since anything's been good. Half-Life 2 was good when it came out. I used to play Counter-Strike a lot. That was really good. I play all the Nintendo games. I buy all those, all the Marios, all the Zeldas, all that stuff. I don't have a 360 yet, and I'm definitely not buying a PlayStation 3.
Why not?
Because everything on there right now is a port. So there's no point in buying it.
Well, so is most everything on Xbox 360.
I mean, it's a port.
There are a few exclusive titles on 360, but it's still... PS3 and Xbox 360 are by and large mostly the same in terms of game
availability. Right, but a game is created on the 360 and then it's brought over to PlayStation 3 right now. And the graphics are equal. So there's really no point in getting a PlayStation 3. Not yet. But now this November, you're going to have Killzone. You're going to have possibly Metal Gear Solid 4. Those might be some console sellers there. But right now, Xbox 360 is definitely better. And Wii's kind of like off doing its own little thing, so you can get that too. I've got one of those.
I see.
I got a question for Ben Buck Double B. Ben Buck Double B, how'd you get your start gaming? What was your first game system? Same as Blake Buck growing up, or did you get exposure a little earlier, being Blake Buck 1.0?
No, I didn't even know what a video game was. I'd never really played an arcade game, never really seen any of that, never really done much with it. And one year for my birthday, I don't remember how old, I must have been about 5 or 6, maybe 7, I got a Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Does it make cookies?
It plays video games.
It plays tapes, son.
They didn't mention that, but it plays video games. So, all right, let's try that. And then I put in this game called Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. It was a combo tape. It was a unique invention for its time, combo tape. It even came with a light gun so you could shoot stuff, shoot birds. And I put in Mario, and it was like, wow, this is awesome. You can run. You can jump. It was great. And one of my favorite features that I didn't even know about until I played it about 20 minutes was if you press the start button, the game pauses.
That's so Ben Buck can catch up. That game happens pretty fast.
You could put the game on pause and go to the bathroom or do something else.
See, Ben Buck's acting like this is when he was 6 years old. He was 26 years old when he discovered this.
And so after the Nintendo, I got the Super Nintendo, and Blake kind of went off and did his own thing. He started buying all the
systems.
That's right.
I used to experiment with games and not just buy one game. Ben Buck never bought anything but Nintendo until about 2006.
Well, there was no need to. They always had the good stuff. Blake bought the PlayStation. They had some good games on there. Well, and then I got the 64. And what else came out? PlayStation 2.
A Dreamcast, baby. A Dreamcast.
Yeah, but it failed. Hey, at least we didn't have to buy that one, right? That was good. We got it donated, quote unquote. And so the only ones I bought I had the 64, and then I got a GameCube, and then the first one I bought that was not a Nintendo one was the PlayStation 2, and it was just because I got that one because they had that slim version and it was $130, and they had a lot of $20 games. You couldn't beat that. So, and I've got the Wii now, so I may get a PlayStation. I don't know why I keep saying that. I may get an Xbox 360. But as of right now, I've just got the Wii and the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube because the Wii plays GameCube games 100%. Unlike the PlayStation 3, which is broken. I'm not a big fan of PlayStation 3, clearly. So I see in this wiki here it says, what about the Cookie Factory?
Evan, why don't you tell us about the Cookie Factory and your experiences there? In my mind, it's like I Love Lucy, you know, where the cookies go by
it's
and then
going
Ben Buck,
into my mouth.
Ben Buck just eats them as they go by?
No, see, I worked in the office. The cookies were over in the factory part. In the office, you were doing the number crunching. So I was over there. I was working on, basically, they needed some software that would help them make cookies better.
Cookie development software.
We were looking at some software packages, and I evaluated one at the time and recommended it to them. And they kind of put the project on hold, and then I went on to another job, and I heard recently that they had actually gone back and purchased the software that I'd recommended, so that was good for me. What their big project now is they make they make a product called Purelane, but they make a product also called Nestle Stix that's in the stores, and it says Nestle everywhere on the box, so you think whatever Nestle makes it, but it's actually made in Madison, Mississippi.
So Let me. Okay, we've slowballed you with some questions, Ben. We got you.
You've slowballed me. We've softened you up.
Now it's time for the real questions. Ben Buck, what is your favorite food?
Favorite food? Ice cream's good.
Okay, let me ask.
Pasta's good.
Let me ask you a different question. All what right. kind of food don't you like?
Dude, vegetables are weak. let's see. What's with that? Broccoli's no good. Asparagus is no good. Cauliflower's no good.
He's taking this totally seriously. Ben, this is a trap. This is a trap to call you fat. All right.
Okay. Is that what this is? Oh, I see. Brought me on here just to bring me into the trap.
That's right.
Okay.
You fall into the trap.
So, Blake Bug, I have a question. It's sort of more. Well, a question directed at you, but regarding Ben Buck Double B, you have some pretty creative names for each other. Could you care to list those?
Oh, names I call Ben Buck?
Yeah.
Fat Boy, Fat Man, Fat McBlobicus, Fatty Fatty Fat Fat. I'll just say Fat for like 6 minutes. What are some other names I call you?
Oh, that's a bunch of them. Ben, yeah, that one comes up every now and then.
I only refer to him as Ben Buck Double B on the show. Doughboy, that's another classic.
I mean, that one's damn like 10 years old. What was that other one we were going on for a while, and then it kind of faded? Was it the chocolate thing? Was that what it was? Remember that chocolate thing?
I don't remember chocolate thing.
Remember, it was like, you like some chocolate? You remember that. Fatty likes chocolate.
Oh, that's right. This is like when I was in the car with Ben. We'd be riding when we were kids. I look over him, I say, Fatty likes chocolate?
What? And you thought that was funny,
didn't
you?
I think it's funny.
I thought it was dumb.
Ben Buck, in actuality, is not really that much bigger than Blake Buck.
Blake Buck, he's been putting on the pounds.
Blake, baby!
He need to bust out those DDR mats.
Look, Blake Buck, he ain't got time for weight loss. He's a podcaster, okay? A professional podcaster. So, Ben, you know, this is... I want to talk about a sensitive subject, if that's okay with you. I want to talk about you and the ladies. Now, clearly... The ladies just throw themselves at you as you walk down the street. What do you do to repel these? Do you have anyone you're going with at the moment? Is it just like a fly-by-night kind of thing? What do you do?
No, I don't have anyone I'm going with at the moment. I guess you spray some, what do you put it, the Ben Buck juice in the air, and they kind of run off. It's like in Pulp Fiction, you know, they'd be coming onto you. You got to spray the repellent, so they go off of you. That's Jackie Brown. Great movie if you hadn't seen it.
A good movie, didn't you?
Yeah, Ben Buck is big into movies. I see a lot of tapes in the mail.
No, we're not talking about movies. I'm still on the ladies.
Oh, all right.
So what was your...
I'm moving into my own bachelor pad. I'm going to fill it with women.
So what are you going to do in this bachelor pad? Now, Ben Buck, you've told me for years you got to have your own place.
You got to have your own place.
Ben Buck currently lives at home with his mother.
And father.
So this has put a damper on your lady seeking experience, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
So what are we doing to fix that?
I don't know. I recently found out about this thing called Facebook.
Oh, we're getting some Facebook honeys, Ben?
They got lots of ladies on Facebook. In fact, I went on there. There's a lot of your old classmates are on there.
Oh, is that who you're looking for to date?
I don't know, old classmates? Hey, I'm looking for anybody and everybody.
It's sad because it's true. All right, well, do we have any final questions for Ben Buck Double B?
I think this is a good time to bring up the discussion note from Mr. Barbalay. Please avoid academic discussion points at all costs. Done.
I think we suffice that. All right, so ladies, if you're into Ben Buck, just send an email to benbuck80@yahoo.com. Good.
That's right.
Ben, you lean into the mic, and I want you to give me read your email address in the sexiest voice possible.
It's benbuck80@yahoo.com.
Oh, I love it. All right, well, that's enough of this silliness. It's time for the feedback.
All right, we got a lot of feedback this week, guys. I'll take the first one here. This is Brian B., Lone Wolf in the forum. Says, hey, guys, love the show. You guys have talked a few times about your fan base and trying to grow the show, stuff like PodcastAlley.com, which you should have voted on by now. Have you guys thought about any odd ways to advertise the show? I was thinking of face.jpg neon glowing signs spread out in the Boston area, but that might not go over so well. In the forums, there was a discussion of extra podcast content for a price. Any news on that? I'd be more willing to pay for some uncensored podcast heat. Also, you guys mentioned donating to you guys through the website, but I'm not seeing any link for it there. Thanks. Lone Wolf.
We say it in the show. I think it's on the site. If it's not, I should fix it. If it's not on the site, we say it at the end of every show. It's donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. So, as for paid-for content, we're still working on it. Right now, Blake Buck is working on it. I might make a video out of Blake Buck going to the Brain Institute and getting tested. So we'll see. We'll see. We got stuff still in the works. But we'll let you know as soon as we know something. Would you stop that? What are you doing?
I was checking the webpage. It's not even loading.
It's over. By the time you f***ing did that, you've just distracted me. All right. Read this next email, Ben Buck.
All right. The Fat Daddy Mushroom one?
The Fat Daddy Mushroom.
Fat Daddy Mushroom. Why do I get to read the short one? I want to read all the meaty ones.
Oh, read them
anyway,
all.
It says,
read them all, baby.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to know if you knew about any of the other features of CryEngine 2. I have not followed up on the CryEngine development. All I saw was some video a while back had big machine monster spider thing on the boat, and they were shooting it with lasers.
All right. For those of you who don't know the Cry, what we're talking about here, Crytek, the CryEngine 2 is the engine it's an engine that's being produced. I guess they're using it to make Crysis 2. Is that the deal?
It's called Crysis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so this thing is really like pushing the envelope in terms of like graphics capability and also the creation process. I know there are a few screenshots of like the engine's editor out there right now, but if you go on YouTube and you check out the CryEngine 2, there's some power on there, although the low resolution of YouTube doesn't really do it justice. So see if you can find like the HD versions of their tech demos, but they have like massive environments that are completely foliated, and you know, you can destroy everything, and they've been working on it for a long time. It's looking hot,
and supposedly it requires DirectX 10 to run, so I think you'll even need Vista to even play it, something like that.
One thing I wanted to mention on the show is I heard, I don't remember who this guy was, but I read on Slashdot the other night that somebody had successfully wrapped the DirectX 10 API allowing you to run DirectX 10 and XP. And even DirectX 10 on some cards that supposedly didn't support it. And also, like, by extension, if you wrap DirectX 10, you could conceivably run DirectX 10 applications in other operating systems like Linux or Mac OS 10. Just thought that was interesting. Ben Buck, did you see that?
I had seen something where somebody had run DirectX 10 without Vista, and that's great. I don't know about it running in Linux. I don't know that they've ever really been able to do that. I mean, it doesn't work on the Mac, so, but it could.
Well, pretty much what I'm saying is like, well, I mean, that's what you do when you port a game, is you wrap the DirectX 10 or DirectX API in OpenGL. You know, OpenGL underneath drives it, but your software layer is making DirectX calls. So I think that's what this guy did. He reverse engineered the geometry shader pipeline or something. I don't remember what technically what he said, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great if you could do that, because I don't really want to buy Vista anytime soon. Don't want to have to go buy a new PC, because if you buy Vista, that's pretty much what you have to do.
Also, well, not necessarily. I also read that Dell has started installing XP on their systems again because people hate Windows Vista and want their to work, kind of.
What they've been doing is on their gamer system, specifically the XPS, they are installing it with XP and not even offering Vista, because Vista does not yet have full support for OpenGL. And so if you run an OpenGL game on Vista, you're going to see half performance, basically. Mm. So I think that's one of the big reasons they're not doing Vista on the gaming machines, because the gamers don't want it.
All right. Well, our next email comes from Tegon M. Hey, guys. Thanks for mentioning me on Podcast 17. No problem, guy. But William Miller butchered my name. It's Tegon, as in T-Gun. Oh, I guess I just butchered it. T-Gun. Like shoot gun blam, son. gold star for effort, though. Anyway, it's good to see you guys getting up in the list and beating this hot soccer girl or whatever. What a... Hey, don't make fun of soccer girl, okay? We all like... Then there's nothing wrong with that. I'm still... What the... You suck.
Huh?
I was trying...
She had some pictures laying on the floor without any clothes on. I saw that on the website. Did you not see that?
Before we started this podcast... Let me just stop everything. Before we started this podcast, Ben Buck, okay, here, do it now.
All right, What's this business? Sounds like I'm back in the barracks.
What the
I don't know either.
Before I started this podcast, Ben Buck said, Blake, you have to say at some point in this podcast. And I said, why, Ben Buck? He's like, I got a genius joke I'm going to say when you say And so I just said and he totally missed his cue. And then he did his joke, and it sucked f***ing anyway. Ben Buck, you just lost all points. -10 points, Ben Buck. Anyway, he says, I'm still ashamed with your podcast and humanity in general to see Harry Potter podcast reach number one. Look, you can never beat the Potter podcast. Or what is it called? Mugglecast.
Especially with the book coming out.
Look, that's what I'm saying. What's that podcast like?
Okay, guys, on this week's show, no new book yet, but we've got some introspective wanderings from the minds of George, fan fiction writer. How are you doing, George? Hey, I'm doing good.
They're all trying to predict what's going to happen in the book.
You can only try and predict what's about to happen for so long. You're going to do 60 shows of predicting what the new books is going to be like?
There's a lot of possibilities.
Dude, there's an entire podcast. I think it's like one spot above us last month that was totally devoted to Harry Potter and Hermione hooking up in fan fiction. That's it.
All right, so he's got a stump for us, too. He says, cool spot.
Son,
I think everybody in this room knows what cool spot is. Don't be sending a cool spot. What's wrong with you?
All right, next one is from Jason D. Says, see, I see on your wiki that you're having some issues with Justin Fix recording levels and latency. Allow me to share a podcasting trick. Skype and other VoIP solutions offer low-cost alternatives to in-air talent, but often the technology cannot keep up with the pace of live broadcasting, which we have experienced. Luckily, with podcasting and other pre-recorded formats, there's a lot of sneaky tricks we can use to prevent the appearance that all that latency is actually in one place.
So basically, this guy is saying to eliminate lag and audio problems, we should record our audio separately.
Jason D., we already record our audio separately. In fact, we have a pretty sophisticated setup here, Blake, but why don't you describe it for Jason D. of Channel?
Well, this week we're a little less sophisticated. We got William Miller is at his house, and he's hosting a Skype conference with me and Justin Fick. Justin Fick's on Skype. I'm on the telephone because my internet sucks. And I've got William Miller, Justin Fick on speakerphone as me and Ben Buck listen and talk on the mic. So look, son, we've already got this on lockdown. We know what we're doing. We've been podcasting for, like, what, 2 years almost now? Damn.
Now, well, Blake Buck left out, like, the mixer that we all use, and it all goes into Sound, or not Sound Studio,
Audio Hijack Pro.
Audio Hijack Pro, where it's mixed on the fly while it's recorded, and then it goes to Tom Barbalay, and he cuts it all up and syncs it. So, yeah, we do exactly what you say.
One thing I wanted to note about this email, it's from Jason D., the systems engineer of Channel. Now, son, if you work at Channel, you need to be hooking us up with some sort of six-season deal, all right? I don't know how you're going to do it. We want six-season deal.
Syndicate us, go. All right, David M. writes, all right, you say you want some feedback? Get ready for some of this heat, D-go. I'm tired of you guys shoveling this to open my face.jpg and calling it steak. I know that steak only comes around once a week, but when I see something new in the RSS feed, I get sweaty in excitement. I leap to my computer screen to only be met by an old episode of IMG or, most recently, a behind-the-scenes episode. I appreciate the need to keep us knaves entertained, but it isn't terribly difficult to check the archives instead of having old episodes handed to us in no particular order or pattern. I hope you guys are all right after all that heat. I just have to say thank you for pushing out some of the unreleased content like the Redline review, that is mucho coolio, and I think you guys should check out a YouTube video called The Last of the Hipsters or something like that. Even your feeble minds could draw the comparisons to yourselves. And horizontal rule, the message above was written about 5 days ago when I was young and foolish. I now realize that iTunes sometimes queues up old episodes when you refresh your RSS feeds. So, I guess you guys aren't as posh as I thought you were, but let it be known that any further d*** will not be tolerated. I keeps it real. David Mancuso, New York.
I like David M. He's screwed up, but we're still the d***. I like him.
He's from New York, baby.
Well, look, because we're not on the same place, it's really hard to, you know, we've done this before.
No, he's not talking about the frequency of our shows. He's just, his iTunes was downloading, like, old shows or something.
Yeah, sometimes it'll, and when you download the newest show, for some reason an old one will pop up in there. I've had that happen, too, on on various shows.
Speaking of Blake Buck, when is that New York heat coming out?
Son.
Dude, he has lost them tapes.
Son. It is coming soon.
Where are the tapes? You don't even have them in this room.
Look, son.
Don't lie.
There are three passes to any edit. Three passes required to any edit of any video.
You're on
pass zero. Pass number one, you got to capture all the footage. All right? I got a whole hour of New York heat. Pass number two, you take that heat and boil it down to the good stuff. Right now, I've got about 10 minutes cut down. And then pass number three, I'm going to take those 2 minutes and make a genius 5 minutes out of them somehow. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do yet, though. But that video's coming. I'm still working on it. So fear not. It's in the tubes.
See, here's how it goes. Blake Buck will call me up, and he'll say, "William, what are you doing?" And I say, "Blake Buck, I'm programming some of this power. I can't tell you what power that is, but I'm saying I'm programming this power." And he's like, "I hadn't seen it, baby. I hadn't seen it. Where's that power at?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, it's code. I can't really show it to you." And I'm like, "Blake Buck, where's this New York video?" And he's like, "I've been doing it, baby. I can't really show it to you because it's all over here," whatever. And it just goes on like that. It's a feedback loop, cyclical, if you will.
So if you'd like to send any emails, just send us an email at feedback. That was too long of a segue. Feedback at best damn podcast ever. All right, now it's time for the stump.
All right, Blake Buck. I got another stump for you this week. Justin Fick inspired me last week.
Oh, man.
Or 3 weeks ago or whenever it was we last recorded the show. My game this week is Cadaver.
Cadaver? Wait, I've heard of this game. Ben Buck, you've heard of this game, hadn't you?
I have never heard of Cadaver.
Ben Buck hadn't heard of anything. He dumb. Cadaver. I don't know. This maybe like a is it like a is like a platformer? Like a 2D platformer?
This is the prequel to Stubbs the Zombie.
No.
Maybe kind of sorta.
No, it's another Bitmap Brothers game, which is what Justin Fick served up last week. Cadaver is an isometric sort of, I guess, role-playing adventure game, and you're this dwarf. His name is Kara Doc, and you want codes. You just want gold. That's the whole thing. You go around and get codes. The cool thing about this game, though, is you could pretty much interact with everything that wasn't too heavy for you to move. So there was a lot of like little bits in the level that you could push around and stuff, and it was a really, really pretty game. So if you ever get that DOS box or whatever, check it out. It came out for the Amiga and I think DOS and the Atari.
All right, good deal. Just Vic, what power you got?
All right, my power this week is called it's called Moonwalker.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh.
Blake, I'll let you do this. Go.
Baby, Blake Buck has played Moonwalker, starring Michael Jackson. And you go around and you're in the white suit and you do hee hee and he shoots cards out of his hand. Oh no, he shoots like magic dust out of his hands. And like he's got a pet monkey and he's
save the children.
You save the children and they're like, "Thanks, Michael."
And you throw quarters in the jukebox machine.
Oh yes! That's right. You could do a superpower. And then like he would do the big dance and you make the enemies dance on screen. Ow! Oh, I love that game.
You make them dance, and then you throw the magic dust on them.
I'm talking about the arcade version.
Oh, well, it's mostly the same. I've also played the arcade version, at least on ROM. I don't think I've ever played it in. I've never seen the stand-up Moonwalker cabinet.
Well, my favorite part of that game is that the last level is Michael's battle plane.
Oh, I remember that, son. Michael's battle plane.
Or lest you forget, if you catch the falling star, you turn into a Michael Jackson robot with lasers.
Whoa.
Man, I would, like, one day, I want to be so big. You remember that, like, video in the like, mid-80s where it was this, like, giant statue of Michael Jackson?
it's called the history, present, and future.
That's what I want. When somebody makes a giant Blake Buck statue.
Blake Buck, the history.
That's when you know I've made it. I can die after that.
And he had like, not only was it a statue, but he had like ammo belts like across his chest or something. And
he's like Captain EO or something.
Yeah, I forget.
Something like that.
So in high school, every Friday night, you could call down to the office via the intercom and request a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the community leader would go out and like rent movies for us or whatever, because we had tape decks on every floor in the lobby. So without fail, every Friday night, Blake Buck would push that intercom button, and he would say, Mr. Mike, we request Moonwalker. No, excuse me. Mr. Mike, we request Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. And every week, he would say, he would have a new name for Michael Jackson's Moonwalker every week. He'd be like, well, Blake, we'll go see if we can find Michael Jackson for you if you want. Like, every week. And then eventually got to the point where he would push the button and it would buzz the office. And he'd just say, no, we're not getting that. He wouldn't even have time to ask. And then finally, we combed the internet for Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. We could not find it. And finally, I think last quarter, Simon, my roommate, actually found it on the internet and pulled it down. And we watched it. And it was it was just...
Dude, you mean bad? What the hell are you talking about?
Well, like the first half of it is just like a montage of his concerts, right? And then the second half of it is pretty much what the Moonwalker game, I guess, is about. You're saving kids, and like there's this, you know, it's crazy. You just got to go find it and watch it for yourself.
Dude, he turns into the Panther. Anyway, Michael Jackson Moonwalker, big thumbs up from me. Game, video, Michael Jackson himself, all of them get thumbs up. All right, Ben Buck, do you have a jank or a stump?
Of course I've got a stump.
Oh, well, let's hear it then.
What do you think I was doing clicking over here? My stump this week is cold fear.
Cold son! Son! Oh, I know what this is. Do any of these clowns on the internet know what it is, though?
I don't know what it is.
Dude, that's what happens when you go and buy fear and you go stick it in your freezer overnight. You get cold fear.
Look,
dude, cold fear. That was hard. That was like Resident Evil plus boat. You're on this boat and there was something evil or something. I never played it, but I saw a previews for it or something.
That's it, Resident Evil boat.
That's what it should have been called, Resident Evil boat.
It got reviews too.
Now I've been stuck this week. I've been trying to come up with the stump for about the past 10 minutes, and I'm racking my brain. I'm looking in the closet, but I've most of the games in my closet I've already said by now. Oh, I gotta think of something.
Cool spot.
Oh, I got one for you guys. Oh, I hope you're ready. Oh, yeah.
Cool spot.
Oh, my game for you. It's called Last Contact.
Dude, baby,
dude,
baby.
Last baby. Contact.
I helped make that game.
Howard Shearer.
No, I'm thinking of a different Last Contact then. Maybe that's not the name. Damn it.
Dude, you fail. You fail. What's wrong with you?
I think it's Last Contact. Look, it's not entirely possible there would be two Last Contacts.
No, because one would be Second Last Contact.
Well, what was Last Contact?
Last Contact was a game created in Green Dragon Creations while I was there. I helped out a little bit. And it's essentially like multiplayer Missile Command, pretty much. And it, you know, it was fun. There's little dots. And you shot them little dots at your planet, and you had four little cities on your planet, and you had to defend and shoot. It was fun, but ultimately not a massive success. I think we sold like 500 copies or something.
Is that the one where the missiles are coming out of the air and leaving lines?
That's Missile Command.
Oh, okay.
Well, the Last Contact I'm thinking, and I may have the name wrong, it may be like Last Defense or something. Yeah, it's got one of those dumb generic titles. But it was one of the last games that were released on the Sega Dreamcast. It was a vertical scrolling shooter. It was done by a homebrew company. And you can still find copies of it on Licksang and the like.
Dude, Licksang is gone.
There is no more Licksang.
Licksang's dead, baby.
Who, what? What are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, Dreamcast is dead. What? Son.
No, he said Licksang is dead, not Dreamcast is dead. We've known that for a long time.
Dude, Dreamcast is dead, too. Get over it.
Oh.
That's why you go to PlayAsia.com.
Well, it was through one of them import sites. Look, if I even think you said that Dreamcast is dead, this podcast is over.
Dude, if I had taps on my iTunes, I'd be playing it in your face right now.
No, turn that off. Put Andrew WK. Let's get a party started right here. That's the Dreamcast theme. All right, it's time for the outro. All right, well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever with Ben Buck. What do you guys think about that?
It was pretty good. Ben Buck, you did a good job. I was surprised.
All right.
I thought you would have just, like, wandered into the corner and looked for cookies or something and not have...
I ate them all before the show. So
oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to send us any email, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Oh. Oh, wow. That was... I think I have a child now.
Dude, that's double buck action. That's quadruple B.
You can also, if you'd like to donate to us, David M. or whoever you were up in our emails, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Also, guys, remember, vote for us at Podcast Alley. You can either find the link in the show notes on the site or just go to podcastalley.com and vote for Best Damn Podcast Ever.
I have a question. How do you donate money in an email?
It's a PayPal thing. You know, you can just send, like, regardless if an email is on PayPal or not, you can use PayPal to send money to an email address, and then they sign up for PayPal and they get the money.
Yeah, but I can't go to Yahoo and type donate and send.
You go to PayPal.com, go to send money to, donate at Best Damn Podcast. That's all you got to do, folks. It's real easy.
There's no fee or whatever.
You can keep this show alive for only $6.95 a week.
That's true.
Or a one-time donation.
Or a one-time donation of $457. So that's all I'm saying. So we'd like to thank our secretary, Tom Barbalay. And anything else, guys, we want to add to that?
I think we're good to go.
All right. Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Willie Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
I'm Ben Buck.
And we'll see you next time.
Goes to Tom Barbalay, and he cuts it all up. Goes to Tom Barbalay, and he cuts it all up. Hello, BDPE listeners. I got a job, that's my tale. That's a good tale to have. What's this business? Sounds like I'm back in the barracks. Hello, BDPE listeners. I'm Ben Buck. I got a job, that's my tale. That's a good tale to have. William Miller is speechless. Excellent. Goes to Tom Barbalay and he cuts it all up. Look, you're giving Tom too much work. Like, this is not good. Look, you're giving Tom too much work. Like, this is not good. Look, you're giving Tom too much work. Like, this is not good. How do you donate money in an email? What's this business? Sounds like I'm back in the barracks. Excellent.